Don't forget about your family. Don't work too hard. It can take a break. Take care of your family.
The Royal Welcome back to the Wild Business Growth Podcast. This is your place to hear from a new entrepreneur every Wednesday morning who's turning wild ideas into wild growth. I'm your host, Max Brandstetter, founder and podcast producer at Max Podcasting, and you can email me at max@maxpodcasting.com to save time with your high-quality podcast. This is episode 282, an episodic palindrome. That is just music to the ears and backwards. And today's guest is David Sowers. David is the co-founder of Royal Restrooms, the gold standard in portable sanitation. That's right, they make portable restrooms, portable toilets, showers, and more that are quite the step up from what you think of when you think of porta potties or porta johns or however you say it. In this episode, we talk how in the world a banker from Savannah got into the toilet business, how to grow your business with the franchising model, the most unusual side of the restroom business, and tales from pretty much every SEC stadium except Georgia. It is the Royal Mr. Sowers. Enjoy the show. Alrighty, we are here with David Sowers, commonly known as the Toilet Man. No, I'm just kidding. That is not the official title. Co-founder of Royal Restrooms, one of the coolest, most intriguing, and as we say, wild and unusual businesses you'll come across. David, super excited to speak with you and talk all things restrooms and beyond. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Max. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course, of course. Thank you so much for coming. And we are going to set a record for toilet references, restroom references, and usually it's me who's got his mind in the gutter, but this is literally the business that you operate in, so I thank you for for being open to that stuff today.
Somebody's got to be the number one man in the number two business.
Oh my God, we should just stop right there. We're not going to top that. But before we get into, you know, where you are today with the business and how you've built it up, I know that your Royal Restroom story, the very first inkling of an idea came from a pretty disastrous moment involving your daughter. Can you share that story?
Absolutely. The funny thing is most businesses, you know, they start with some type of situation that is either not pleasant or, you know, trying to solve some kind of problem. And we were at a Shakespeare in the Park festival in Savannah, Georgia, and both my daughters, well, one of my daughters was potty training. The other one was just an infant. I took her over to the port-a-john. I had CC on my hip, and it was just like, wow. I had never thought about going to the bathroom, I guess, well, one from a female perspective, but a child's perspective that is learning to use the bathroom properly. It's kind of like, what is this bucket here? You know, why am I looking at this? This is so strange. And I had to take Cece and put her outside, have somebody else in, you know, a stranger holder. I've got my door propped open. There's no light. I'm holding Stella over the hole in the ground. And it's like she just pees all over me. And I'm just like, this is horrible. I can't, you know, like what? I left, took the kids home. Was just quite, I mean, I was upset at the whole situation. It was just terrible. And it's, nobody had done anything about it. Nobody had tried to change it. We just accepted the porta potty for what it was. And not that there's not going to ever, you know, it's always going to be there, but it's like, why is this acceptable here in the, you know, 21st century? We're not Romans. So I drew out on a piece of paper, I measured my half bath downstairs and said, why can't we put this on a trailer? And about a year later, my business partner, Robert Glisson, he was really the catalyst that turned this into a business. You know, I kind of had an idea and I just kind of sat on it and Robert was the one that was, hey, we can really do something with this. We can make something happen. And he was really the one that propelled it.
You know, there's that old saying that it's better to be pissed off than pissed on. And unfortunately for you, you live the the not good side of that one.
Yes, I literally got pissed on.
How quickly after that moment, when you know, you're covered in pee, you're in a porta potty, you know, pleasant experience all around, you can imagine. How long after that, or I guess how quickly after that, did it start to matriculate? Like, this is actually a business idea.
It was over a year. And Robert and I, how it came about was, Robert had a party at his house and it was outside. We do a lot of oyster roast and that type of stuff in Savannah. And I can't remember if it was the very first football game or not, but we went inside to his house and it was a line of people waiting for the bathroom. So we walked outside to go use the tree, or in this case, the side of his house. And I was just like, man, my little bathroom idea would be great for this. And talked to him about the bat, you know, shared with him what I had kind of talked about. I hadn't shared it with anybody else. We sat up all night long drinking on his dock, talking about what we can do and how we can do it and all that. And the next day, before he got it for church, he knocked on the door and was just like, how much money do you think it'll really take us to start this thing? And we literally started that Monday. Happened on a Friday or Saturday night, and we started the process the next day.
Now, this is a very important detail. What was it that you were drinking while you were brainstorming on this?
I was drinking either Amstel Light or a Crown and Ginger.
Well, a Crown and Ginger, a Crown kind of hints itself. I think maybe it's subtly pointed to some royalty there. So we'll have to credit them or Amstel with having a part in the foundation of this business, which has grown and grown and grown there. After you had that brainstorm and that long night of talking on the porch, what was your professional situation at that point otherwise? Like, did you have another job at the time, or what did that look like?
Oh, yes. I was a vice president of a local bank in commercial lending, business lending. And Robert was an environmental engineer at another local firm. You know, when all of this started, it was just kind of a side hustle. It was just a small gig. You know, people thought we were kind of crazy in what we were doing. And Robert and I were just, we were having a good time. It was getting us out of the house on the weekends, and we were going to different parties and festivals that we didn't even really know were in Savannah. And it was kind of like breathed a little life into us. You know, we were both, I mean, I think I was 28 or 29 when we started, and Robert's a year or so older. So we were right there at that 30 benchmark, you know, where it was kind of getting, I guess, status quo, you know, and this business kind of spicing things up. It kind of changed things for us.
Spicing things up is putting it lightly. So let's get to that spicy. I don't know if we want to keep using that word. Let's get to that Royal Restroom story. Flash forward, you've built an incredible business, got locations, franchisees, you're franchising all over the country. You know, you worked at some of the coolest events in the world. At some point, you needed to decide to go all in on this business in the first place. Before we even talk about that decision, what were the reactions of those around you when they found out that you were getting more and more entrenched in the royal throne space?
Well, back in the day, if you can even say that now, Robert and I have very much had a kind of professional lifestyle. This was kind of considered, you know, the portable restroom industry, the sanitet porta potty business. I got essentially asked, do I want to be in the porta potty business or do I want to be a banker? You're not going to be in the porta potty business and be a banker at the same time. You got to choose. So I kind of had that decision made for me, and it wasn't too long after that Robert did too. We jumped, you know, full steam into this because all of a sudden we have a family to support. We have debt. We didn't know what was going to happen because we were changing kind of the course in of the sanitation industry. There were no other businesses like ours. So we were pushing the boundaries of what was expected and changing things. So of course we had major opposition to everybody. Nobody wanted to pay for what we had. They wanted what we had, but then they wanted it for a porta potty price. And you're just like, you get so much more. We have a real functioning restroom. Like, we bring a whole nother element to your event and festival. Like, it's kind of a luxury. If you compare it to a port-a-john, it's not really a luxury if you compare it to a regular bathroom, because it's the same thing. You know, we were trailblazing there for a while, you know, flying off the seat of our pants, you know, what, and testing the markets and testing the waters and seeing what we could get away with and seeing what we couldn't.
That's a really important point there of like, it's one thing to have the idea of like, let's make something better than a porta potty, but that was actual like fine details of what are you going to be your differentiators there, I think are so important to figure out like right from the start. What did that process look like for you? How did you decide what was actually going to differentiate you versus porta potties or porta johns, whatever you prefer?
So yeah, it's different parts of the country, porta johns. You know, porta potties, we usually call them porta potties. I think most people call them porta johns, the little blue buckets, whatever you want to call it. But honey buckets, I think, on the West Coast.
Oh, wow. That's a new one. That almost sounds like a tasty cereal, but I probably dangerous to think of it that way.
You know, we upset that whole industry there because people really wanted what we had. And people were still figuring out where we fit into everything within that industry. But people thought we were crazy. People thought that, you know, I can't believe that you would throw away your career and do this. And that was the same for Robert. But afterwards, people were just like, why didn't I think of this? You know, nobody liked going to the Port-a-John, but nobody thought to change it. And it's kind of one of those wow moments, like, why didn't somebody else think of this? Why didn't somebody else do something? And it's one of those things, nobody really wants to think about the bathroom. Nobody wants to think about that. And it's surprising when it's probably one of the most private things that you do and something that you want to do in comfort. You know, you want to do it nicely. You don't want to upset the boundaries around you. You want to, I mean, heck, now everybody sits down and plays on their phone for 30 minutes.
Right. It's true. It's definitely something that you need to do frequently. It's just a basic function. So why not do it in a comfortable place, especially when you're in public? For anybody who's not familiar with their brand, what's the biggest difference between a typical honey bucket and a royal restroom?
Royal restroom is a fully functioning restroom. It's just on a trailer. You know, we have a flushing toilet. We have countertops with fully functioning sinks. We have, it's climate controlled. There's air conditioners, there's mirrors, there's paper towels, there's soap, there's running water. And you can sit down on these. You don't have to cover it up. You can sit down on these things.
Once you got that initial model created, that the initial throne fortified, how did you start to look at like, hey, who's actually going to be our customers for this?
Well, the first market that we tried to tackle was the weddings. We thought that would be the easiest. You know, we wanted to be mother-in-law approved, you know,
the official certification.
You know, yes. Hey, we're mother-in-law approved. But no, we thought that would be the easiest market to go after first, because people spend thousands upon thousands of dollars now on a wedding. I think when we first started, the average wedding was, I don't know, $10,000 or $8,000. Now it's more like $30,000, $35,000. But we bring so much more to that wedding now. And I mean that by from a flow standpoint, but also from a destination standpoint. You know, you can have this at the farm. You can have it at the beach now. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about people leaving your wedding. But not only that, the bride can go in there. It's big enough that, you know, she has enough room or he has enough room to do what is necessary in the bathroom without feeling icky.
Oh, yeah. That's a good word, because when I think of traditional porta buckets, I'm going to call it a different name every time. Icky is like a good way to describe, you know, like even best case scenario, you don't feel great about yourself using those. I mean, weddings is a great industry, and that makes sense. You know, there's always going to be weddings. There's always going to be a ton spent on weddings. There's always going to be lots of people at weddings that need to use the restroom. So that's kind of a no-brainer. Looking today at like a snapshot across the different industries you're in, what else are some common areas or common restroom needing spaces that you supply?
Oh, wow. Well, just about everything now. We have branched out from festivals to grand openings to nonprofit events to fundraisers, emergency response, and a large part of our market of late has been long-term kind of business remodels. OSHA requires so many bathroom facilities to be in a building, and a lot of these older buildings haven't been updated to current laws or standards. And a lot of times they need additional facilities to support the staff that they have, or like a Home Depot or a Lowe's remodel, whereas it used to take 6-7 weeks to redo a bathroom because they'd redo one bathroom and then the other bathroom and then the other one. Now they can go in and remodel all three of them at the same time and cut their time in half, you know, to 2 or 3 week business remodel rather than having a 5 or 6 week project out there. So restroom trailers have really, they just keep expanding. New ideas are brought towards us and new rental ideas or options are brought every month. It seems like there's something new or something different.
I mean, there's an endless need for, you know, those basic human needs, as we were saying, but it's really nice that you're able to just, you know, not go into like the celebratory and more, I guess, for profit space, but also helping out when there are disasters or emergencies or areas like that. Like sometimes you need something quick and you need help. So I know you've done so much wonderful work. I mean, going back to Hurricane Katrina, just unbelievable yes. stuff there.
Well, thank you.
Of course. Well, thank you. But when you look across, you know, looking back over the years now, which, you know, you've been in business for a couple decades. I'll throw you a congrats for that as well. That's awesome. But you've gotten into franchising as well as a way to expand your brand and help out more, you know, people in need in different locations. Can you share a bit about, for any business that wants to potentially get into that franchisor model, what do you need to do to make sure other people can kind of come up under your umbrella?
For our umbrella, it's not a very lengthy process, but it's, you know, you go through the whole FDA process, filling out the forms, reading it, and it's kind of an approval process. And we're kind of picky about who we let into our organization because we're essentially marrying that person. So we want to make sure that they have the leadership qualities that we're looking for. We want people who are in the long game, you know, in the long game. They want to be in this business for 20 years. They want to see it succeed. They believe in the vision that we have. That kind of owner operator, those are the ones who are going to care about the business, who are going to uphold the brand. They're going to uphold the business. They're going to be active in their community. They're the ones who are going to treat your employees like family. They're the ones that are going to make a difference. We fell into franchising. We fell into expansion. We didn't necessarily mean that was never the goal of the business to franchise. And I'll tell you, franchising is a very difficult model. It can be done right, but you need to have someone that knows what they're doing in franchising. We never did. We never had the money. We never went the venture capitalist route and put the funding in. Maybe we should have, but it's very hard to be a franchise. It's kind of like having a big family. You're viewed as the mom and dad, so it's kind of like a parent. You have to be a parent sometimes, and that's difficult, especially when, as they grow and they get older and they have their own knowledge and they have their own views, and nobody's wrong. It's just maybe a little different way of looking at the same goal or reaching the same goal.
Do you have any franchise inspirations, like a business or franchise, chain out there that you look and you're like kind of model your expansion after?
I didn't. Robert and I did not. We never put a whole lot into the franchise side. We never hired a marketing group or even a sales team. All of our franchise owners were word of mouth, or they were kind of like the squeaky wheel. They wanted to be involved in our business because they believed in our vision. They believed in our product. They liked, they liked our service. They liked how we were run. But there are so many great models out there. Zaxby's is a great model. I remember going to college at Georgia Southern, getting Zaxby's about every day we went out, it seemed like,
I thought you were going to say after every class, before and after.
I was trying to figure out how to word that correctly without being, hey, we drank a lot.
That's totally cool. Now I'm hungry and thirsty.
I don't want to necessarily say that we were so self-absorbed that we didn't look at models, but there was not, when we started franchising, there was nothing else like that. When we tried to write when we got the attorneys to write our franchise disclosure documents and kind of a plan, there was nothing else to model it after because we had a unique product, that was mobile. So having territories was difficult. There just wasn't anything out there back then that was kind of comparable to what we were trying to do. So it was very much a learning curve and hit and miss.
That's a really cool thing where, and I called myself out in a previous episode for using the term really cool too much. So I have to, slap myself on the head for that. But it is a really cool thing when you carve your own path in a business line or business expansion like that. Like, it's always helpful to have inspiration, but there is something really cool about being gritty and figuring out yourself and being just, hey, we got to do this. So it is still cool to know that chicken and beer helped to fuel this as well, but
it still helps fuel it.
Words to live by. In addition to franchising, which obviously is like most direct form of expansion, what else has been, you think, the biggest driver of the growth of Royal Restrooms over the years?
I think the biggest growth, it didn't happen because of Robert and I or anything that we necessarily did, but it happened because of our office owners. They in themselves were leaders, but also from employees. I mean, you cannot build a business without good frontline employees. And when you turn our attention to our employees and they see the good that they did, rather than just delivering a trailer or cleaning a restroom or, that they took part in something memorable. They took part in someone's wedding. They took part in a major sporting event, or they took care of something in a disaster area. That appreciation and that knowledge of knowing that what they do has made an impact on somebody else's life, I think really propels the business itself into another whole nother level. And our growth has happened because of really the service industry. You know, at the beginning, it was the products, but our growth in the last 10 years has been our consistency and our professionalism and reliability.
Almost as reliable as me butchering this shout out to CEX, Content Entrepreneur Expo. I did it. I messed it up. If you are interested in the content entrepreneur space, or if you're someone who wants to build a business or gain more traction with your content, CEX, Content Entrepreneur Expo, is the conference for you. It is founded by the godfather of content marketing, Joe Polizzi, also the guest on Wild Business Growth Podcast, episode number 15. And if you use the promo code MAX100, you can get $100 off any in-person ticket to the event, and you can sign up at cex.events. That is taking place May 5th through 7th, 2024, in my favorite, the Goat City, that's a new nickname, of Cleveland, Ohio. Now, let's go to some beautiful, tied with the bow, toilet stories.
Well, you just put a nice bow on everything, and it was beautifully said, and I'm going to totally ruin it now, because we're going to head to one of our fans' favorite segments called The Unusual. And typically, this is kind of you about your personality, you know, pet peeves, quirks, things like that. But I want to do something a little bit different, since you are in what many people would call an unusual space. And by that, I mean an awesome space in the restroom. I almost said restaurant. Restroom, I guess, of sorts, in toilet world. So this is kind of all toilet and restroom-based questions. You ready for it?
Okay, we'll shoot.
Yep, exactly. That was a vivid term there. All right. What is a fun fact about toilets that probably a lot of people wouldn't know?
That women are a lot more dirtier than men.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Fun fact about a toilet. Now, I will say that we have golden toilets on the front of our office headstone. So when you come up, you're coming into two golden toilets on our front porch.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't really know about a fun fact. I mean, you got quirky things with people putting carpet on the toilet seat and foam, different stuff. But I don't.
In that vein, or on that throne, what's the most unique, like, I guess, decoration you've seen applied to a toilet or toilet paper even?
Well, we also have purple toilet paper. And it's funny because when I go to these trade shows and stuff like that, we have the purple toilet paper out. And everybody is just like, they look at it and they're just like, you have purple toilet paper. I'm like, of course we do. You know, it's lavender scented too. And they're like, what? And they all want to smell it. And you're like, yeah, we want to make sure that you come in fresher than you left, you know? And they just stop and like, I can't believe this. And they're, you know, they're all smelling the toilet paper and look, but anyways, that's, you know, something that we like to do. But I, from a decoration standpoint, you know, it probably would have to be with different plungers and stuff like that. And we've made plungers into flower bouquets and stuff like that.
Oh my God. You and team are expert branders. That's awesome. That's a shout out previous guest long time ago, well-known keynote speaker, Jay Baer. He talks about talk triggers. Like, what can you do as a brand or for your personal brand just to share a little something, like something physical that's memorable and gets people talking about it. And that lavender toilet paper is exactly that. So you've nailed that. That's awesome. Plunger flower bouquet is perfect too. That's I think I will not get that for my wife Dana next Valentine's Day, but maybe who knows when. All right. What is the most, I guess, unbelievable or unique place that has become your client that you would have never expected?
I would have to say that it's probably more like the celebrity weddings and stuff like that when you do them, because you have to go through so many NDAs and they have to pre-approve the bathrooms, and the celebrity brides are walking through it and they're, you know, pointing out all these little knickknacks, and you're just like, oh my gosh, come on. It's crazy.
Is there any celebrity wedding that you can shout out, or is that part of the NDA? As my voice cracks,
I think we can say him now. We did Justin Bieber's.
Wow.
And then we did Jennifer. Oh gosh, J-Lo and Ben Affleck's wedding here recently as well.
Oh my God! Well, congrats on that. You said Jennifer and just left it as a cliffhanger. I'm like, there's a lot of famous Jennifers. She's one of the most famous. Weddings like that and events like that you've already done. What would be a dream place that is not your client yet, but you would love to supply there?
I always enjoy doing car shows. I love doing the car shows, and I would love to do the car show at Pebble Beach. You know, the Porsche show at Pebble Beach. That's something that I'm a huge Porsche fan, so I would absolutely love doing that. And we do car shows all over the country, but we have not done the Porsche show out there.
Anything Pebble Beach just instantly has like a beautiful and paradisical, if that's a word, feel to it. So I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, it's so breathtaking out there, and it's so strange, you know, to leave San Francisco and then you go out there and you're just like, I can't believe that this is, you know, 20 miles outside the city or whatever, because it's just so beautiful out there. It's probably further than that, but I'm on the East Coast. I can't remember how long it takes me to drive.
We're gonna fact check you. We're gonna make you go out with a ruler and confirm. No. All right. As if that wasn't strenuous enough, let's wrap up with some rapid fire Q&A. But this isn't just about toilets and restrooms. This is about anything. So you're off the throne here.
I'm off the hook. I don't have to think too hard and collect my own.
Exactly. Those are the hardest questions. These are the second hardest. No. All right. Let's get wild. You ready for it?
All right. Shoot.
All right. And I usually say, let's get wild after I ask if you're ready for it. So I even jumped the gun. But Savannah, I know, is known as one of the most beautiful places in the country. I was there when I was really little, but I don't remember it well. So I'm itching to get back. What is a hidden gem that's maybe not as touristy, but something really, really cool to check out in Savannah if you're in town?
Most people, when they come to town, they come for the food, the history, and those sorts of things. The hidden gems are, you know, it's just walking around the city. It's finding it. It's exploring the city on your own, you know, not taking a tour guide or one of the trolleys. It's just walking around and finding what the squares in there say, because they tell their own story that is just fascinating. It is truly fascinating. The city is full of history, from River Street to even out on the east side, where you have Wormslow and Skidaway Island, and the beach is 10 miles away. So the hidden gems are really just getting out there and walking it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Are you secretly a player for the Savannah Bananas?
I could probably dress the part, because I get all decked out in my purple. I certainly wear my purple suit rather than not a yellow suit. But no, I don't think I could pull off the whole dancing thing. But I could maybe, you know, if I was asked, I would give it a shot. I would give it a shot. But no, unfortunately, I'm not a member of the Savannah Bananas.
Unfortunately not. I talk about a brand that has done an incredible job of growing. I mean, they're everywhere. I've seen, we live in New Jersey, and at Newark Airport, I've seen multiple, like, different families, like totally different kids, different occasions wearing the banana hat. And I'm like, that brand, well, obviously, if I was that age now, it's like, yeah, of course I'm going to wear a hat with a banana on it. But they've done so, they're so fun. It's awesome.
He's done such a phenomenal job with it all. And it was so funny when they first came and they first started. I don't know what league they're in now. I guess it's some kind of, it's like a provisional league or like something.
Independent or something. Yeah.
When they first started, they were still part of, I believe they were still part of the major league teams. And they did all of that dancing and the theatrics with everything. And the people from the other teams, the fans and the players from the other teams, they would be so upset that this is a game, and they actually thought that they were making fun of them and in not being very serious. So it was, it even made it more fun to go and watch, because you would get to see the fans just kind of freak out, and the other players just freak out on what's happening. Like, they just didn't understand it. Now, yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's an incredible story to unpeel. See what I did there. Now, I know you went to Georgia Southern. Are you a fan of Georgia, or are you mortal enemies with Georgia?
No, I am a fan of Georgia. Believe it or not, I've never been to a Georgia game at Georgia, but I've been to plenty of other games across the Southeast. I like watching the Southeastern Conference play. I've been to just about every home team. I've already been to Oklahoma's and Texas's, so I guess I can count them, but I still have Mississippi State to go to and Kentucky. And once I finish that, then I plan to go to Georgia. Then I plan to finish it off at Georgia.
Well, first of all, you're probably one of the only Georgia fans who is going to finish every SEC school at Georgia. So I'll give you unique brownie points there, but Bulldog brownie points. But of the places that you've been, what was the most intimidating environment for an away team, you think?
I would have to say LSU. At least in my perspective, LSU is very intimidating. Tennessee is very intimidating, but each school is intimidating in their own right. I mean, you go to the swamp in Florida, and there's just a vibe, and I mean an energy that you can feel when you go into every one of these stadiums. I hate to, you know, to bust on Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt was probably the least intimidating of all of them, although it's probably the funnest city of all of them as well.
Right. Maybe there's like a paradox there. It's like, you know, it's like a city can only be so fun if the stadium is that awesome, vice versa. No, there's a lot of just legendary venues there, and the nicknames too, like Death Valley, the Swamp. You started talking about like I know Georgia in itself, you know, when you finally get to Georgia, Georgia in itself, and how they do the, like, you know, the red lights and everything. It's crazy. But I got chills. I'm pumped for football season again. Last one, in the spirit of royalty, do you have a favorite show or movie or book or something that involves kings and queens?
I like watching the Game of Thrones, but right now I'm reading Ted Lasso, the business book on Ted Lasso.
Oh.
But from a royalty standpoint, you know, that's not really royalty, but it's over there in England. So you kind of have the royalty there from that standpoint.
That Ted Lasso, but is that like written by the Ted Lasso character, or is it about the show?
It's about his leadership style in the book. And I don't know if you've seen Ted Lasso, but
Yeah, we love it. It's awesome.
That's a fabulous story, and it's hard to not root for the guy and see his, you know, his leadership and kind of the politics that he plays and how he goes about it. That's a fun way to try to be a leader, because, you know, life is just so daggum stressful that your workload just adds to it. And he seemed to brush it off and have such a good spirit about it. So I saw that book and my assistant picked it up for me. And so that's what I'm reading right now.
And now you're believing. You got to believe.
I have to.
David, thank you so much. I think I speak for many who share the same sentiment, but you're number one and number two in my heart. So thank you so much. No, this is absolute blast. I just absolutely love the niche you've carved and the business you've created, and just an incredible story. And so thanks for coming on today. Where's the best place for people to learn more about Royal Restrooms and if they want to connect with you online?
Well, we have a brand new website that we just rolled out. We definitely need the hits, because I've taken a major dump on my website, apparently.
you just had to throw one more bathroom pun in there, didn't you?
That's royalrestrooms.com. you know, you can reach us through any of the links there. I can be reached on LinkedIn. I really don't have any social media outlets except from LinkedIn, but it's just David Sowers at LinkedIn. And most importantly, the business is royalrestrooms.com, and you can find us all over the country. And hopefully we will, maybe if we're not, we'll have an office coming to you soon.
Perfect. Absolutely. And last thing, final thoughts could be a quote. Well, it could be a Ted Lasso quote. It could be a bathroom quote, whatever you want. Just send us home here.
Well, you know, don't stop trying. Make sure that you have your support system in place, and don't forget about your family. Don't work too hard. Just it can take a break. Take care of your family.
Well, that sounds like the perfect time to break. Thank you so much, David, for all you do for the Royal Restroom. Wonderful. I was trying to think of a word that started with an R. That was not restroom business and beyond. And thank you, Wild listeners, for tuning in to another episode. If you want to hear more wild stories like this one, make sure to subscribe or follow the Wild Business Growth Podcast on your favorite podcast app. And check out the video versions and subscribe on YouTube. That is YouTube at Max Brandstetter. You can also find us on Good Pods with good podcast recommendations and people. And for any help with podcast production, you can learn more at maxpodcasting.com and sign up for the Podcasting to the Max newsletter. That is where podcasting meets entrepreneurship and potty mouth puns. And you can sign up at maxpodcasting.com/newsletter. Until next time, and until next throne, let your business run wild.
Bring on the bongos!